Well, that's an amazing reading, but I think the first part of it is really important. And so I'm going to go back to that in a minute. Let us pray. Abba Father, open our eyes so that we can see the wonders from your Torah this day. And may the words of my mouth and the thoughts of my heart be acceptable in your presence, because you, Yehovah, are my rock and my redeemer. I ask this in Yeshua's name. Amen. Today I want to speak about the waters of separation. And there's more than one water I'm going to speak on. So we're going to start with our Torah reading and from the beginning and then explain it more thoroughly from there. So if we can go to Bamidbar Numbers 19 and verse 1, please. Yehovah said to Moshe and Aharon, "This is the regulation from the Torah which Yehovah has commanded. Tell the people of Israel to bring a red female cow without fault or defect, which has never borne a yoke. You are to give it to Eleazar the Kohen. It is to be brought outside the camp and slaughtered in front of him. Eleazar the Kohen is to take some of its blood with his finger and sprinkle this blood towards the front of the tent of meeting 7 times. The heifer is to be burned to ashes before his eyes. Its skin, meat, blood and dung is to be burned to ashes. The Kohen is to take cedar wood, hyssop and scarlet yarn and throw them onto the heifer as it is burning up." And the next slide, please. In verses 9 to 13 it says, "A man who is clean is to collect the ashes of the heifer and store them outside the camp in a clean place. They are to be kept for the community of the people, for the people of Israel to prepare water for purification from sin. The one who collected the ashes of the heifer is to wash his clothes and be unclean until evening. For the people of Israel and for the foreigner staying with them, this will be a permanent regulation. It's permanent as long as there was a temple. It's no longer a temple, so it's no longer a permanent regulation. Anyone who touches a corpse, no matter whose dead body it is, will be unclean for 7 days. He must purify himself with these ashes. On the 3rd and 7th days he will be clean. Then he will be clean. But if he does not purify himself the 3rd and 7th days, he will not be clean. Anyone who touches a corpse, no matter whose dead body it is, and does not purify himself, has defiled the tabernacle of Yehovah. That person will be cut off from Israel, because the water of purification was not sprinkled on him. He will be uncleanness. His uncleanness is still on him." And the next slides, 2 slides, for 17 to 20. "For the unclean person, they are to take some of the ashes of the animal, burned up as a purification from sin, and add them to fresh water in a container. A clean person is to take a bunch of hyssop leaves, dip it in the water and sprinkle it on the tent, on all the containers, on the people who were there, and on the person who touched the bone or the person killed, or the one who died naturally, or the grave." And the next slide. "The clean person will sprinkle the unclean person on the 3rd and 7th days. On the 7th day he will purify them. Then he will wash his clothes and wash himself in water, and he will be clean at evening. The person who remains unclean and does not purify himself will be cut off from the community, because he has defiled the sanctuary of Yehovah. The water for purification has not been sprinkled on him. He is unclean." And the next slide in Messianic Jews, Hebrews, chapter 13, 10 to 14, it says, "We have an altar from which those who serve in the tent are not permitted to eat. For the Kohen HaGadol brings the blood of animals to the holiest place as a sin offering, but their bodies are burned outside the camp. So too Yeshua suffered death outside the gate in order to make the people holy through his own blood. Therefore, let us go out to him who is outside the camp and share his disgrace. For we have no permanent city here. On the contrary, we seek the one to come. Now, death is in this world. The way people live today, they are headed for eternal death. In Romans 5 and verse 12, it says, therefore, did I put that one in? I must have left it out. Do not, oh, the bottom, sorry. Do not let sin rule your mortal bodies so that it makes you obey its desires. Today our world lives where it's a me situation. My desires are what's important, nobody else's. It's a selfie world. I mean, they call these phone things that they do selfies, and that's exactly what it is. They think about self first, self middle, self last, and nobody else counts. But all of Yah's time is different to ours time. If we think the way Yehovah thinks and have a mind like his, then all of Yah's mind is in 1 week. The first day of the week was when Adam and Hava sinned. Adam sinned and death entered the human race. That was the first day of the week. The ashes of a red cow without fault or defect, the red heifer. 2, a person was unclean if they touched death. 3, the red heifer was slain outside the city of Jerusalem. 4, only one person could burn the heifer. That was the Kohen Gadol, the high priest. Then the priest then takes the cedar and the hyssop. Now cedar and hyssop are very important because the cedar is the largest tree, the cedars of Lebanon. They were the largest tree in the vicinity. And the hyssop is the smallest. If you've ever been to the what is called the Kotel or the Wailing Wall in Jerusalem, you'll see these little things growing out of the wall. That's the hyssop. So it was from the largest to the smallest. And then, of course, scarlet was thrown into the fire. Scarlet, the red heifer, represent blood. And we all know that life is in the blood. It is another person, a clean person, who takes the ashes and puts them in a clean place and keeps them there for waters of separation. Once again, separation is a very important word. I want you to remember that one. If anyone touches death, that is anyone who touches a corpse or a bone or a grave, then they are unclean for 7 days. They then have to purify themselves with the ashes of the red heifer sacrifices on the 3rd day and on the 7th day to be clean. Are you getting a picture here? Are you getting a Tanakh picture or a Kedavah HaShalakim picture? Because I read this and all I could see was Yeshua. So let's move on. When verse 17 says take fresh water is meant to be running water and put it in a vessel. In Hebrew, the word for running water is mayim chayim, living water, water that's alive. Whenever we immerse anyone from this congregation, we always immerse them in living water. We won't immerse them in a pool. We won't immerse them in anything that is still water. It's got to be running, flowing water. It can be the ocean, it can be a river. But it has to be living. So they didn't have taps in those days. We have running water and we think of a tap. There was no taps in these days. And so the water would have either had to be a water from a spring, a water from a brook that was running, or water from a river. It was not to be taken from the Dead Sea, or the Salt Sea as they know it in Israel. And it wasn't taken from the Galilee. It had to be taken from running water. Your people go to Israel and they keep being immersed in the Dead Sea. I can't understand that. Why would you immerse in dead water when Yah wants us to be alive and be immersed in living water? So this living water was taken and the ashes were put into the vessel that contained the water. It was this water that they would sprinkle on the houses and the contents of the houses, the people that affected by the death. They had to sprinkle the water on the person the third day and again on the seventh day. It wasn't until the seventh day at evening that the person would be clean. In Jewish tradition today, all family members sit Shiva. And you sit for 7 days and the rabbi comes into your house and you pray and everyone brings your food for you to go and cook. Excuse me. It's a 7-day event which carries on from what happened back then. But the one who did not get sprinkled in the family remains unclean and is put outside the camp. To me, the message here is that the red heifer indicates death. Why red? Well, as I said, red represents the blood. Without blood, there is no sacrifice. Without blood, there is no life. Yeshua fulfilled all the sacrifices required of the Torah, and that is why the curtain of separation in the temple was rent from top to bottom at his death. He opened the way for all to enter into the Holy of Holies, where once only the Kohen HaGadol could do it. Yehovah laid Adam's life down on that first day, and Yehovah came forth from his side. Now, you often say that woman was taken from his rib. But when we read it in the Hebrew, she was taken from the side. So they were two, where one became two. And that's why when you marry and marriage is consummated, they come back to one again. Because woman was taken from his side, not from his rib. When Hava was taken from his side, Adam was put to sleep or put into a death state so she could be taken from him. That's why Adam says she was flesh of my flesh and bone of my bone. She wasn't just bone of his bone. She was flesh of his flesh. So the Hebrew, always the word in Hebrew means side, where in English it's been translated to rib. I don't know how they get that, but they did. In those, it was those two people, Adam and Hava, who were the ones who brought sin and death into the world. Rather, they could have eaten life, but they ate death. Because of all that, now all humanity has touched death. So Yah sought to edit out the entire events that occurred between that point of Adam sinning and the coming of Yeshua, and spliced out that period of time, and had the death of Yeshua replace the sin of Adam. Well, we're getting there.
Okay.
We're getting there. It's all right. Haven't forgotten it. So on the first day, when Adam and Hava were made with the events of the operation of Yah on the side of Adam to make him a helpmate, Yah's mind instead saw Yeshua HaMashiach die, because as Sean said last week, and I've said on many times, Yeshua was at creation. And Yah, he was in Yah's presence all that time. But he was actually seeing the death of his only begotten son. Adam was put into a deep sleep on the first day of the week in Yah's mind when man touched death. Yeshua died to redeem us. On the third day after his crucifixion, Yeshua arose. The third day after a man touched death, he had to be sprinkled with the waters of separation. And this had to occur again on the seventh day. Yeshua was the one who made a way for us to be cleansed of death, beginning on the third day. Can we go to the next slide, please? In Yochanan 6:53 and 54, then Yeshua said to them, "Yes, indeed, I tell you that unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you do not have life in yourselves. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life. That is, I will raise him up on the last day." Now, as I said, the last day can be classed as the seventh day if we look at life as 1 week. He said, "You do not have life in yourselves." Adam lost access to life in the Garden of Eden when he was cast out and barred from the way of the Tree of Life in Bereshit 3:24. The way to get back and to get life from Eden back into us is to receive the flesh and blood of Yeshua. To do this, we have to acknowledge his death on the stake and his dying for our sins. In the following instances that Yehovah supplied the water of life to his people in the wilderness is really important. Can we go to the next slide, please? In Shemot 17 and verse 6, it says, "I will stand in front of you there on the rock in Horeb. You are to strike the rock and water will come out of it so the people can drink. Moshe did this in the sight of the leaders of Israel." And then Tehillim Psalms 105:41, he says, "He split a rock and water gushed out. It was running living water, flowing as a river over the dry land." And in 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 4, it says, "They all drank and the same drink They all drank the same drink from the Ruach, or the Spirit, for they drank from a Ruach-sent rock which followed them, and that rock was the Messiah." This rock foreshadowed Yeshua HaMashiach. We are to drink from the rock, and we all know that Yeshua is the rock. Water and blood came from Yeshua on the stake. The rock was hit to bring forth the water, as was Yeshua. There was power behind the rock in Rephidim that supplied water, because it gushed out like a river. There was some power there that formed it to just gush out. It didn't start dribbling and then build up and build up and build up. It gushed out. So there had to be some power behind it. That power could only be Yehovah. And we know that Yeshua is the rock, so his power was in it as well. And Yeshua said, I and the Father are one. So we know that it was the power of both who went with them whenever they were in the wilderness. And it is as Sean spoke last week and said, it was Yeshua who gave the words, because he is the word of the Torah. So it's the same power that is within each and every one of you, whether you're watching, listening online or watching online, or you're in the room today. That is the same power that is within you. Amen. Don't sit back and think you can't do something. Thank you, Paul. Don't sit back. You have that power within you. And you're going to have to use it more and more in the world that we're living in. Amen. In the next slide, please. Yeshua is called a living stone. Living stones provide life to others. In Kepha Aleph or 1 Peter 2, 4, as you come to him, the living stone rejected by people but chosen by Elohim and precious to him. Yeshua is the source of living water and the river of life, also in the book of Revelation. Amen. In Revelation 22 and verse 1, it says, next the angel showed me the river of the water of life, sparkling like crystal, flowing from the throne of Elohim and the Lamb. Yeshua is the Lamb. The water was flowing from Yeshua. Mankind is in need of spiritual food and drink. We feed our souls and flesh regularly, but we also need to fill our spirits. It's the spirit. We are made of both flesh and spirit because we're made in Yehovah's image. So our spirit needs filling. Did you notice that the river flows from Yehovah and the Lamb? Amen. This thought of Yah and the Lamb shows the whole picture of the steak. It also shows oneness as well. Because Yeshua and the Father, as I said, are one, it shows the Father in a sacrificial body that had to be broken in death so that the Father could flow out as a river of life. We are physical, but Yehovah is spiritual. So Yah manifested in the flesh, that is Yeshua, and that flesh broke in death so the river of life could flow out. It still flows today. And this is not talking about the end of the world, because we read in Revelation 22 and verse 17 in the next slide. The Spirit and the Bride say, come. Let anyone who hears say, come. Let anyone who is thirsty come. Let anyone who wishes take the water of life free of charge. It is for each and every one of us. Amen. Most people think that everything in Revelation is speaking about the end of the world. It's not. That is incorrect. The whole point of Revelation 22 and 17 was that the river is to supply man with life. Amen. And we read that right now when we come and drink of this water. Immediately after, we read that the river flows from the throne of Yehovah and the Lamb for us to drink. We have to understand that Yehovah is inside us, the Messianic community, through his Ruach. Water also represented the Ruach or Spirit. When we think of the Ruach, many people think of wind and breath. But I think of currents. They all have currents that flow. It can be wind, it can be a breath, or it can be water. In Revelation 21 and verse 6, it said, he said to me, Amen. It is done. I am the Aleph and the Tav, the beginning and the end. To anyone who's thirsty, I myself will give water free of charge from the fountain of life.
Yeah.
The whole point is that it is accomplished, it is finished, it is done. And it's all associated with giving the water of life. This too is significant as we have to drink from it. When Yeshua cried, "It is finished," or accomplished on the stake, he died, and the soldier pierced his side, and out came water and blood. The water was living water because it flowed. The blood is life of the flesh. A fetus has blood flowing through its veins 8 days after conception. There is life in that child after the 8th day, before a woman can even know that she's pregnant. It's the 8th day the blood is flowing. Living things have blood in them. And if water has blood in it, then it is living water. The living water is now supplied through Yeshua's sacrificial death on the stake. And we are now back to the opportunity Adam had in the garden. Can we go to the next slide, please? In Yochanan 19 and verse 30. After Yeshua had taken the wine, he said, "It is accomplished." And letting his head droop, he delivered up his spirit, or ruach. And in verse 34, however, one of the soldiers stabbed his side with a spear, and at once blood and water flowed out. Yeshua drank the bitter so we could drink the sweet. The sweet water that had life in it. The bitter wine, or the vinegar, whatever it was that was put on that thing that given to Yeshua, speaks of death. The fact that blood and water came from his side also tells us something. The water with clots of blood can be accounted for only by the previous rupture of the heart and the flow of blood into the pericardium, or the outer sac of the heart, where it would separate very rapidly into water and clots of blood. Hence, it doesn't mean that that spear went through and pierced Yeshua's heart. I don't believe that, because they only put it in his side. But I do believe that it is certain that the immediate physical cause of the death of Yeshua ruptured his heart. In other words, he died of a broken heart. I believe something went past the pain and the suffering, and his heart burst in an intense passion for his people, the Messianic community, that were then and would be born in the future. As Havar came from Adam's side, and Adam was driven to her to become one again with her for the procreation of children, Yeshua HaMashiach knew that he would what would result from his death on the stake. He knows the end from the beginning in each and every one of our lives. And he knew the end from the beginning of his own life. The very thing that mankind, and that's what Adam means, awaited since Adam was thrown from the garden, and finally now, 1,000 years, once again, man and Yah are to meet in the same sanctuary. The holiest of holies was only a model of the plan on which only man and Yah could meet. The beautiful veil with the purple and red and blue and gold embroidered with the cherubim, the way to the tree of life was barred by the cherubim since Adam was thrown out. Why? Because Yah wanted to bring man back again. A beautiful gateway was made, but the only the best were given the right of return. And when Yeshua died on that stake and the blood flowed and water flowed from his side, the veil in the temple ripped wide open. The entrance back into a den was made possible. Garner Den, with its river of life and its fruit of life, was brought back to memory again when Yeshua died and the veil with the cherubim that barred the way of life was opened. Yehovah had to keep the way pure. He kept it preserved. He did not want to lose it, but to bring man back into the threshold, into the sanctuary, again with him. The only way was through the stake. When Yeshua said, "He is the way," he meant the way to the Father again. He, Yeshua, is the door to get us union with the Father once more. Yeshua said we have to thirst after righteousness. In Matthew 5 and verse 6, he said with his attitudes, "How blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled." Amen. How do you eat righteousness? How do you drink righteousness? You receive the flesh and blood of Yeshua. The blood washes your sins and righteousness flows into you at the same time. The blood of Yeshua is the life of Yeshua. As I've said, the life is in the blood. It cleans and it gives you life too. Everything okay? Yes. In the next slide, please, in Tehillim 36, 9 and 10. It says, "For with you is the fountain of life. In your light we see light. Continue your grace to those who know you and your righteousness to the upright in heart." The Hebrew connotation of continue is to draw at length, to draw it out. Draw out righteousness and loving kindness to those whom you know. Draw out righteousness to the upright in heart. And in Mishlei or Proverbs 12:28, "In the road of righteousness is life, no death is in its pathway." You have to notice that righteousness is associated with life. That is the place of no death. We must hunger and thirst our whole life after righteousness. Righteousness is something Yeshua said we eat and we drink. In other words, we live our life that way. He was referring to his flesh and blood as the remembrance service symbols. Eating the remembrance emblems represents how believing the gospel causes his righteousness to be inside us. We have to seek first the kingdom of Yehovah, and then his righteousness is given to us. It is his life we are seeking. Eating righteousness is saying the same thing as eating of the tree of the fruit of life in Garner Den. Yehovah wants us to have the fruit of life in us as much as he did in Adam's day. And Yeshua shows that by saying we must hunger and thirst after the righteousness. In the garden was both the river of life and the fruit or the tree of life. They were the spiritual drink and food that mankind was meant to partake of. Yehovah wanted his life in mankind since Eden. When we think of the word Adam, Adam means mankind. Would it be, and we would get it by eating the fruit of life. Adam was meant to eat from the tree of fruit and life, not from the tree of knowledge. The same plan stands today. Life is to be put in us, but that life is now through Yeshua HaMashiach. The way of righteousness is life. We are to eat righteousness and drink it. Yeshua continually said that his flesh is bread and his blood is wine. It is accomplished for sinners too. I'm going to go to Revelation 16, verses 17 and 20. 17 to 20. The seventh one poured out his bowl in the air, and a loud voice came out of the temple from the throne saying, "It is done," or "It is accomplished." There were flashes of lightning, voices and peals of thunder, and there was a massive earthquake, such as never occurred since mankind had been on earth. So violent was the earthquake. The great city was split into three parts. The cities of the nations fell, and Elohim remembered Babel the Great and made her drink the wine from the cup of the raging fury. Every island fled, and no mountains were to be found. But there is an "it is accomplished" also for believers. When the unclean, death-touched sinner believes in Yeshua HaMashiach as him or her on the stake of our salvation, the third day he rose from the grave, experiencing another editing of time in Yah's mind with other individuals. First, Yah took Yeshua back, in a sense, for the first day when sin entered by Adam and touched all humanity. And instead of Adam lying down, Yeshua was laid in death on the first day. Then instead of the woman being taken from his side, the messianic community was taken from the blood and water and poured from Yeshua's side. 3 days after Yeshua died, he rose again. As a believer, you are taken back and said to have risen on the third day with him. You have applied the death, burial, and resurrection to Yeshua to yourself on the third day, as symbolized by the sprinkling of the waters of separation on the death-touched man of that third day. All of one week in Yah's time. The last day of the week is the seventh day. This does represent the end of the world and the end times. When you are sprinkled with the waters of separation, you are separated from death. What was in those waters? The death of the red heifer. In other words, death freed the Hebrews from death. By sprinkling the Hebrew with the ashes of a red heifer in living water, the distinction was that this person has the death of the sacrifice offered instead of his own death, so to have paid the penalty of being cast out of the congregation. The ashes represent the death of Yeshua. The living water, or the waters running of the Mayim Hayim, in which the ashes were put, represents the Ruach HaKodesh. Now, cedar, scarlet, and hyssop were very important emblems. And the Kohen was instructed to take the cedar wood, the hyssop, and the scarlet, and cast it in the midst of the burning heifer, the ashes of Yeshua. The ashes, the cedar, that, as I said, the largest trees found in the Lebanon, the scarlet, the blood of Yeshua, and the hyssop, the smallest of all trees found growing out of a wall, shows us that the death of Yeshua is for the great as well as the small in this world. And the blood connects us all as one people who need Yeshua's blood. A man who touched death could only be cleansed if he was sprinkled by the waters of separation on the third day and the seventh day. After that, was considered clean on the seventh day. So what does this all mean for us? If you had the sprinkling of Yeshua's death applied to you by faith, that he died for you, and you repented of your sins, in other words, you've redied to your old life, and you have been immersed in Yeshua's name in living water, and you have been resurrected with him. On that third day when Yeshua's sacrifice was made, atonable, Then on the seventh day, the day of judgment, as long as you have kept yourself clean and lived according to the righteousness of the Torah, at the end of time, you will be classed as clean, and you will not be cast out. You have been separated from death, and you shall dwell with Yah for eternity. Yeshua's sacrifice was not valid until he rose again on the third day. And now let's go to the remembrance service and praise Yah for what Yeshua actually did for us. Mm-hmm.